We are in the book of James. We're looking at chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. We've been going through James for a while. We started in chapter 1, verse 1. And today, an interesting topic today that we're going to be looking at, maybe one that some of you have even thought about a little bit lately. As we've gone through the book of James, are you guys enjoying this study of James? I hope not, because it's not really a book written to make you feel really warm and fuzzy inside. It's a tough one. We have been challenged with a lot of things, haven't we? And if you have really been taking this seriously and thinking about this and really letting this get into your life, you have been challenged. I don't care who you are and what you've done. This is challenging stuff for everybody. We've talked about trials. If you're really a Christian, there's a certain way you should handle trials. How's that been going in your life? Temptations, we're told how to handle those. We talked about being doers of the word, not just hearers. We should not just be hearing on a Sunday morning. We should be doing God's word. Have you been applying that to your lives? We talked about what real religion is. And it really is an amazing statement there, what he says real religion is. Have you tried to let that take over your life? Have you been working on that? We talked about partiality within the church. We should not be showing that. We should be like God is and love everyone completely. We talked about faith. A real faith is one that works, and it will work all the time. And if it doesn't, then there's a problem there. We talked about the tongue. Boy, have we talked about the tongue and the evil that it is, set on fire by hell itself. Wow. Powerful language. Have you been working on that, making sure that God is in charge of your tongue? We talked about what true wisdom is and what false wisdom is also. We've talked about coveting, humility. There's been other things too. These are just some of these things. These are challenging. I don't know if any of you have really arrived in any of these areas. If you have, that's great. If not, well, you know, join the club here. We mess up. We're not perfect in these areas, yet we are called to be perfect in these areas. How do we deal with that? This is challenging stuff, folks. But I hope as we've been going through this, you've been allowing the Holy Spirit of God to reach into your mind and your heart and your soul and change you. Have you been praying about these things? Allowing God to do his work in your life, and that is really where the blessing is, isn't it? To let these things go into your life. You know, we can't do all this on our own. That's probably one thing I've learned in James also. I just can't do all this. I need help. I really need to admit to God I'm a sinner and ask for forgiveness, ask for his help, and he, through his Holy Spirit and his word and his people, he can help me do these things that it says. And that's where the blessing is, and that's where we can enjoy the book of James as we see the fruit of his work in our lives. Today is no exception. We're going to be challenged again today. I think as if James was here today, the one that wrote this book, he would not want us to be comfortable. He would want us to be challenged, to say, hey, get out of your comfort zone, and you need to really start applying this stuff to your life. So if that's the truth, then it's my job to make you a little uncomfortable today. So I hope maybe you don't enjoy the message today. I hope you're a bit uncomfortable, and that challenges you to really think about your own life, your heart, your soul, and your eternity and your future. And that's really what we're talking about today. So I'm going to make you feel comfortable right now. I'm going to give you something to do, and I really would like you to do it. I'm going to have you talk to someone that's near you right now. Okay, and I really don't care who it is. It could be someone you know well or someone you don't know. If you're by yourself, if you see someone by themselves, why don't you get up and move over just for a minute, and you're going to talk to someone, and you're going to tell them two things. You're going to tell someone next to you what your plans are, at least one plan you have for today after church. That's it. And I'm not expecting some big spiritual answer, okay? You don't have to tell them I'm going to go evangelize to 20 people and I won't stop until 100 people are saved. You don't have to pretend or lie or anything like that. Just be honest and just say what your plans are after church today. And just give me one plan for tomorrow. That's it. That's all you have to do. And there's no wrong answer here, okay? But I would like you to tell someone and then that person talk back to you. Please tell them one plan you have for today and one plan for tomorrow. Go. All right, stop talking. This church, you give them a few minutes to talk and they'll go forever. That's a great thing. Praise the Lord for that, actually. But we do need to get moving on here. Let's go ahead and pray and ask God to be with us and teach us, and then we'll get into his word. Let's pray. God in heaven, we thank you we could be here this morning. Thank you for giving us life. Thank you for giving us breath. Thank you for our hearts beating, our blood moving through our bodies, our brains working. Thank you for every gift that comes from you, Lord. We overlook so many things. Help us to be thankful. Help your word to speak to us this morning. Please speak directly to us through the power of your Holy Spirit and your word. And we pray that we would not just be hearers this morning, but doers of your word as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, James chapter 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Come now, James is trying to get your attention, and as often, he's not trying to get it in a fun way. He's saying, come on, you guys, what are you thinking? You're saying you're going to go do this, and you're going to do that, and I'm going to do this, and you have all your plans. Well, there's a problem here. Let's take a look at these plans. He's talking, this is probably specifically a business person here, but it could be anybody. But he's saying, okay, you're a business person. And you're saying, today or tomorrow, I'm going to go do something. The or there doesn't mean the person doesn't know what they're going to do. He's just saying, maybe you're saying you're going to do it today, or maybe you're saying you're going to do it tomorrow. Okay? But the first thing this person is saying is, I am going to do something. Let's say it's tomorrow. Tomorrow, I am going to do something. Period. Does that person really know 100% sure that they will be able to do whatever this is tomorrow? Could there be something that changes their plans? There could, couldn't there? Really, to say that is kind of, you know, we make plans, but to say that for sure, I will do this today, or I will do this tomorrow, you don't know, you really don't know that for sure. We will go. Are they 100% sure they're going to be able to go wherever it is they're going? Maybe going means using their camel or their donkey. Maybe it's going to be sick. Maybe something's going to be wrong there. They won't be able to. Maybe there'll be something wrong in the country. They can't go somewhere. Does this person really know 100% they will be able to go? Are there things that could happen that would change that, change those plans? That's two things so far. The person said, for sure, I'm going to do this. But really, they don't really know. To such and such a city. Well, maybe the person is able to go, but maybe there's something wrong in that city and they can't go there. Maybe something else happens. They have to take a detour and go somewhere else. Maybe there's actually all sorts of things that could happen to change these plans. So there's three things they're saying they're going to do. All three of those, you know, you really can't be sure about all three of those things. I will spend a year there. That's a long time, a long time. What could happen in a year? A lot of things can happen, can't they? A lot of things can happen pretty quickly. In a year, I'm going to spend a year there. This person has a plan for a year, and really, they don't know what's going to happen during that year. I mean, is it kind of wild to say, I know exactly what's going to happen for this next year, and this is what's going to happen? period. There's, what is that, four things there this person has said and they're sure about. I'm going to spend a year there. Are you going to be able to stay in that city for a year? Could something happen to make you have to go somewhere else? That's a whole nother thing that they're saying. They're saying it's almost as if they're in control of the whole thing. Saying like, everybody does what I'm going to do and my will happen on this earth. I will go there and I will stay there a year and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to engage in business. Are you sure you're going to be able to do that? Maybe right now you can, but maybe there might be something that happens there that makes it so you can't do that. There could be lots of things that could make that happen. Things could change. This person, how can you really say you know all this? And I'm going to make a profit. They're even saying what the outcome's going to be. I'm going to do all this. I will do it. I will do this, 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 and this, and it will work out good, and I'll make a profit, and that'll be exactly what's going to happen, all right? Do you see how this person is saying a lot of things, and they're saying it for sure? There's just a period at the end, no question mark or anything else in there. Do you see where there might be a problem here? Well, could a person really say this and be 100% sure all those things will happen? Things happen, folks. Things change, don't they? And sometimes our plans don't work out the way we plan them out. This person is planning a lot of things, and James is pointing out that there's a problem here. And you know, I'm going to say that the problem, I don't know if the problem is exactly what it says, because see, if you're a business person, you should have a plan, and you should have a plan to make money, or you're not much of a business person. It's okay to make some plans, but this person is saying this will happen 100%. This is the way it's going to go. Well, things don't always go that way. This person should have something more in there. It's not really what the person has said here that's totally wrong. It's what they're not saying, isn't it? There should be something added on to this. Maybe instead of all the ands that are in there, there should be something else in place of that. James says, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You know, and this is not just James. This is God's word. This is God talking to us. Folks, you don't know what will happen tomorrow. You really don't. You can make your plans, and we do make our plans, and I don't think this is saying it's wrong to make plans, but God better be in your plans somewhere. And if your plans aren't according to his will, well, it's not going to happen. Things are going to change. They're not going to go well. We need to be thinking about God and what his plans are and what his will is. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. What would happen if we all took that one sentence seriously? You do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. I know this is true. But do I really take that seriously? Do we really? Let me share something. I was reading this passage maybe a month or so ago, and I thought, this is so real, Lord. And I prayed, God, could you please help people really understand this? Help us, me too. Do something in our lives to show us that this is true. Wow. I didn't ask him to give a virus to everyone in the world and do this, but boy, wow. I can't help but think, okay, God, did you answer my prayer? Some of you are watching this quarantined at home because you can't come here today. That was your plan and you can't do it. We don't know. I'm a teacher. I'm supposed to show up to school tomorrow and do classes. I know things won't go as normal. Half the kids won't show up. And after that, I don't even know. I don't know what I'm going to be doing after that. I really don't for my job. Wow. I really don't know. And that's just a small thing. You know, we act like this is such a big deal. There are so many people in this world, they don't know if they're going to live from day to day, are they? They don't know where their next meal's coming from. They might live in a war-torn area, no food, diseases everywhere, much worse than anything we're going to face here. There are people all over the world, probably a huge numbers that don't even know if they'll live through this day. And you know, we get a little worried when our plans get a little changed here. It's really been a wake-up call to me, all of this. And, you know, Friday, I was kind of excited thinking, you know, I'm not going to have school for a while. This will be fun. But then when it really happened, I just had this sick feeling in my stomach. Wow, this really is going to be different. God is really doing something, and I don't know what, but things are changing. And we don't know from day to day right now. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. It's just amazing to me that here we are. I'm giving this message, and we don't know. A lot of us are gone, homesick, or things to do with the virus going around. Pretty amazing. We don't know what our life will be like tomorrow. Do you notice the person said, I will spend a year there. I will spend a year doing this. And James says, you don't even know about tomorrow. You don't know about tomorrow. And you're planning a whole year out, and you know, and you think you know what's going to happen for the whole year, and you're sure of it. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. You do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. Do we know what's going to happen tomorrow? Do we even know what's going to happen an hour from now? You know, you don't even know what's going to happen right now. Who would have thought two people would walk through the room with vacuum cleaners blowing on you? You didn't know that. I did, and a few other people did. There was supposed to be leaf blowers, but it didn't work out. But you didn't know that. You did not know that, and that just happened. Could something happen right now that would change the rest of our lives? You know, I was thinking this through. So many things could happen, couldn't they? And I'm not going to go through them all because it's kind of depressing to think about it all. But really, folks, anything could happen. There are so many things. We think this virus thing is changing our lives. There are so many things. You know, I used to teach geology. The planet we live on this little crust, and there is molten rock underneath us all the way down to a solid core. How in the world does this Earth even work? How do we not all blow up right now? It's amazing. We are so frail, our bodies and this earth and where we live. There are so many things that could happen. Anything could happen that would change all of our plans. It's not bad to plan, but God needs to be in your planning, and you need to acknowledge that He can change everything in a second, can't He? So many things can happen. So many things can change. You do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. So in the whole scheme of time, when you think of eternity past and present, you're like a vapor, like a bit of steam that's in the air for a while and is gone. Maybe something a little bit like this. Now watch closely these vapors, see how long they last. They were there, and now they're gone. There's another one, and now it's gone. There's another one, it's gone too. How fast are they here? Does that vapor have any power over when it appears? Does it have any power over when it disappears? Where it disappears at? Does it have any power over anything, really? It's here so short, and it's gone, and that's the point. I have thought a lot about this verse because what else is it saying here? It's not saying we're insignificant, I'll tell you that, because God doesn't believe that. God thinks you are very significant. You are much more important than a water vapor. But it's the time frame. He's trying to get us to think about time. Eternity, how long are you on this earth for compared to eternity? Let me show you again the answer to that question. There it is, and it's gone. There it is, and it's gone. You're here on earth, then you're gone. How much time do you have here on earth? Should that have an impact on our plans that we make here on the earth? We're here so short, and eternity is so long. Should that impact the decisions we make each day? What we plan to do with the next year of our lives, with the next week, with the next day of our lives? It should, shouldn't it? We're here so short. The time is so short. We need to think about that. And I think about that as we make our decisions. We don't even know what will happen tomorrow. Maybe your time is even shorter than you think here on this earth. Even if you live a long, full life, it's still very short compared to eternity. And we don't even know what will happen here. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. So instead of saying, I'm going to do this, 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 I'll be there for a year, I'm going to do this, everything will turn out well, period. That's the end of the story. Instead of saying that, we should say something like this. If the Lord wills, we will live. We will live and also do this or that. This little statement, the more I've been thinking about it, the more I realize, wow, it is actually a powerful statement right there. And it is so different than the other one. When I first started studying, I thought, yeah, it's a little different. No, it's not a little different. It's a complete change in a worldview. Everything is different. The other person had a lot of plans, a lot of details, and God was nowhere in it. Nothing. Now, this is a person that says, if the Lord wills, the whole thing starts with the Lord. He doesn't even say, my plans are this, this, and this, Lord willing. He says, God comes number one. If the Lord wills, this person is acknowledging that God's in control of everything. It's interesting in the book of James, I'm realizing here that actually there's a whole lot of theology that goes along with this. There's things you need to understand about God, and he just kind of skips over all that, and he goes to the outcome. If you have a proper view of God, then you are going to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. If the Lord wills. See, God is in control of everything, and his will be done on this earth. And that's something we really need to come to grips with. He is in charge. And who is not in charge? You. You're not in charge, are you? That person said, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. They were saying they were in charge. No, God is in charge. God is the one in charge. You know, we just talked about you're here for so short of a time compared to eternity, but who has been around for eternity? God has. From the beginning, and we know, we even read from the book of Revelation this morning. That was great. And the breaking of bread. We know how things are going to be in the end, too. God is there. He is the beginning and the end. If the Lord wills, we need to understand he is in control of everything. It's his will that will be done. We need to not be thinking of our own plans are all right, but our own, what's the reason for what you're doing? Will it actually come about? We need to be realizing, oh, God is the one who has the plan. His plan will come about. My plans need to be conformed to his plans. The more my plans are the same as his plans, well, that is going to work out, isn't it? Because if God's will be done and no one can stop that, if my plans are the same as his plans, well, that's great. It's going to happen. The more our plans, the more we can understand the mind of God and what his plans are on this earth, and we become a part of that, that's much better. We're acknowledging him, we're acknowledging that he's in control, and our plans are really just going to have a much better chance of success, right? Because if you're with God, doing what he wants you to do, and that's a whole other thing here, it's pointing out that God does want things done, and that you are wanting to be a part of that. It's another thing that this that phrase shows, that this person is acknowledging that they want to be a part of what God wants to do. There's a lot in that little phrase. If the Lord wills, and what does it say? We will live. It doesn't say if the Lord wills, I'm going to have Fruit Loops for breakfast this morning. Okay, and maybe that's true. He cares about breakfast. He cares about things. But when you get right down to it, what's the important stuff? Whether we live or die. If the Lord wills, I will live. Even the most important thing that everyone has to deal with on this earth, life and death, If the Lord wills, I will live. If he doesn't will, I won't. Have you come to grips with that? It's true, isn't it? I bet a lot of us know it's true. I know it's true, but do I really live my life as if that's really true? I was reading a commentary, and the commentary pointed out, he's a pastor, and someone came to him and said, I'm afraid to ask what the Lord's will is because I'm afraid he'll ask me to go somewhere that's dangerous. And the guy had a pretty good response. He said, do you know the safest place in the world? Safest place in the world is at the center of God's plan, the center of God's will. That's the safest place, isn't it? I've heard that before. What a great statement. The center of God's will. Whether that's here in Yakima, Washington, or in the jungle of Colombia, or the North Pole, or wherever that is, the safest place in the world is at the center of God's will. Do you really believe that? That's another thing I think is true, but I'm not totally sure I live that way every day. The safest place is at the center of the Lord's will. If the Lord's will, we will live. Your life and your death is in the Lord's hands. If he decides you will live another 30 years, you will. If he decides you won't, then you won't. It's really that simple, isn't it? What was it again? Our life is like this. There it is. And it's gone. If the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. This or that. What could this or that mean? Well, that's every single thing you do every day. As I've been studying this, I've been trying to challenge myself. Try to just think about God and all the decisions that you make every day. You know, I like to think I'm a person that does, I'm trying to do what the Lord's will is. I really want to. And I want to make decisions according to his will. Is there any part of my life that he doesn't want me doing things according to his will? I don't think there is, and I've been trying to think that through. I don't think there is anything in my life that he doesn't, that I shouldn't want his will in, that I should give him the decision, you know, at least acknowledge him in some form. So I've been trying to do that. You know how hard this is? I've always thought of myself as someone who kind of does that, and I don't. There's been so many times I've gone to study in the evening, I sit down, and I'm like, I didn't think about God all day long. This morning I read my Bible, and that was about it. I probably made 50 to 100 decisions today, big, small, and everything in between. I don't think I thought about God in any one of those. I realized, oh man, I thought I was kind of a godly person. Whoa. I got to try harder the next day. And the next day I sit down, I did it again. It is really actually hard to think about God in all of your decisions. But hey, is there any part of your life you shouldn't be in? Is there any decision you make every day that you shouldn't be thinking about what his will is? There really isn't. And he does. And you know, it's a great thing that he really does care about everything in our lives. That's a great thing. And yet, maybe we don't let him into every area. Maybe we don't let him in on every decision. So we need to. We need to be doing that every part of our life. If the Lord wills, it'll happen. If not, it won't. We need to be thinking about that. Also, in thinking about these things, you know, not only this part of James, but the list I put up earlier, all the different things we've talked about in James, the challenges, you know, the answer to a lot of these things is just having a close relationship with God. Remembering that he's there, that he's your best friend. He's there in everything that you do, everywhere that you go. You know, if you really remember that and you're thinking about that, it seems like a lot of these things we're talking about in James, it will help immensely. When you're planning your day out, if you really remember that he's there and you're doing things in your life to help you remember that, it's just going to help you. You're going to think about his will. You're going to think about what he wants. It's just going to help you out. So I highly suggest anything you can do to remind yourself of God throughout the day, do it. Put notes everywhere. Use your phone in interesting ways to remind you about this. Do everything that you can. Listening to Christian radio, I sure appreciate that in my life too. Anything you can do, meeting with other people, whatever, online stuff, anything you can do to remind you that God is there, do it, because that will help you in this and many other situations we've talked about in James. If the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. That should be our attitude. These aren't magic words that you should just say out of your mouth. This is actually thoughts of the heart and your soul. If you're really thinking this inside of you, then it's going to come out and you're going to want the Lord's will and you're probably going to start doing the Lord's will. So much more we could say there. We need to move on. And I'm going to point out one more thing. A couple commentaries mentioned. If you're actively doing what the Lord wants you to in your life, it just seems easier in that situation to understand the Lord's will and to keep doing it. If you're actively going against the Lord's will, which we're going to talk about in the next verse, it's going to be harder to hear God, but it's going to be hard to think about what he wants, and there's just a disconnect there. So obedience to God is going to help in all these areas too. I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer, obviously, but it's really something to think about. It helps. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. That person that said, I'm going to go to this city, I'm going to be there for a year, I'm going to do business, I'm going to make a profit, I'm going to do this, that, and the rest, they're acting as if they're in control of everything, aren't they? Who's the only one that can really say, I know what will happen tomorrow? God. God is the only one. Now, we can say that in some ways if God has revealed it to us, and he has revealed some things. But God is the one that can say, this will happen, this will happen, this will happen. If someone's saying that, what are they making themselves out to be? It's kind of like they're acting like God, as if they're the one in control and not God. They're boasting in their arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Verse 17, therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Wow, the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Now, we're thinking of this in the context of our plans. When you plan out what to do, if you know what God wants you to do tomorrow and you choose not to do it, that is a sin. If you know that what God wants you to do next week, if you know what God wants you to do in your family, if you know what God wants you to do at your workplace, at school, and you don't do it, that is a sin. I remember when I first came across this verse and kind of took it seriously, I was at Bible school, and someone was pointing out the significance of this verse. Wow. I was under the impression that sin was when God said, don't do something, and you do it. Okay, you do something that's wrong, and that's sin. It could be physically doing something, could be a thought, could be words. Those things could be sin. When you do something that is wrong, that is sin. But then when you realize, wait a minute, could not doing something be sin? Well, that's what this is saying, isn't it? If you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, to him it is sin. Oh, man. A whole category of sin opened up that I didn't realize was there. It's not only doing things that are wrong, it's not doing what is right is also sin. Wow. Is that a good reminder to us that we're sinners in need of a Savior? Yeah. Boy, we do things that are wrong, but have you ever not done something that you should have done that was right? Oh man, I bet we have. Wow. And that is sin. And sin must be dealt with. Thanks to Jesus Christ for dying on the cross for our sins. To the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. This might be a specific thing. God might want you to walk over to your neighbors and share the gospel. And if you don't do it, that's sin. He might want you to go do something specifically. And you know he wants to, but you're ignoring him and not doing it. That is sin. But also, there are general things about God's will that all of us should be doing as Christians. For instance, God said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as much as yourself. That's a command. That is the right thing to do. Are you doing that? If you're not doing it, according to this, that's a sin. God wants you to do that. There are other things too. In fact, right now I'd like to ask, can you guys think of other things that are generally told to Christians that all Christians should be doing, commands that Christians should be doing, the right thing to do, and if we don't do them, it's sin. Anyone have, can anyone think of one? And I actually have a prize for you. If you could think of one, can you think of one? Spreading God's word. Are we told to go into the world and spread the word? That's right, here. Other ones in the Bible, God tells us what to do. It's a command we need to do. Yeah.
Encourage one another and build each other up.
That's right. Encourage each other. Enjoy that. I've encouraged you. What else are we commanded to do?
Love your neighbor.
Love your neighbor as much as yourself. That's right.
You're my neighbor,
Mike. Yeah, thank you. Back there? Are we commanded to praise God? You know, that's a great one. I didn't even think about that. We are commanded to worship and praise God. Enjoy that. All right. Any other ones? There's a lot of them. We don't have time to go through all of them. Other commands that we're supposed to do? That is a command, isn't it? Very good. Trust in the Lord. Ah, excellent. One more? Yes, honor your parents. Very good. That's what we're commanded to do as well. All right, enjoy those prizes. You might need them. You never know what will happen tomorrow. Or today or next week or whatever. To the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. If God's having you do something, go do it. Go do it. That's pretty good advice there. Not too difficult. Do what God wants you to do. And if you don't, that would be sin. So in our plans, we're told about really three different ways to think about our plans. We could make our plans as if God is not there and say, I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and that's what's going to happen, as if your God really is what you're saying. That's not going to work out well for you, okay? God is the one in charge. He is in the one control, and he is the one that says what will happen and what won't happen. You could be like this last one and say, I simply know what to do, and I'm not going to do it, okay? And you might think of, oh, these are the people that are outspoken against God and things like that. Well, that's true, but you know the book of James over and over again, he's talking to Christians. Do you ever know what you should do and you just choose not to do it? That's sin, and I think that's what he wants us to think about, okay? Don't do that. Do what's right. The third thinking is, if the Lord wills, I will live or I will die. Whatever the Lord wills, that will happen. I will do this if it's God's will. I will do that if it's God's will. Really, it's being completely sold out to God, realizing he's in control and giving him every part of your life. That's his will. I want his will to be my will. That's the right thinking, okay? And it's going to work well for you. And you know what? This is not like a downer here, folks. What is God's will for your life? He wants what's best for you. He knows what's best for you even more than you do. It's good that he's in control and you're not. Isn't that great? Amen? I'm glad he's in control of my life and I'm not, because I probably would have made horrible decisions along the way. But he is much better than me at controlling things. He knows what's better for me. He knows joy that I could have that I didn't even know I could have. This is good that he is in control. Handing your life over to him, giving him control, letting him have his will instead of yours, this is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It will lead to peace in your life. It can lead to joy, fulfillment. And remember what James said earlier. From a worldly point of view, We're here a really short time, aren't we? Can we really have any significance on this earth or anything? Maybe from a worldly point of view, you could maybe make your name known or do something. People might remember you. Someone might write your name in a book or something. God has been here from eternity past, eternity present. If you're in his will, you're on his side, you're working with him, your life really isn't just a vapor anymore. You can have a huge impact on eternity. You know, you tell someone else about Jesus Christ, they accept that, they will be in heaven forever. That's not just a vapor. That's having a huge effect on eternity. So let's think about eternity. That's in our planning. Let's think about God's will in our planning. Let's do what he wants instead of just what we want. Before we pray, I am going to give you a chance to do something. I asked you earlier to talk to someone and tell them what your plans were for today after church and just one plan tomorrow. I'm going to have you go back to that person and you're going to tell them again what your plans are. Now, you don't have to change all of your plans to make it sound more spiritual or anything, okay? I'm not saying that. But maybe, I'm guessing some of you might want to add a couple words into your planning about the will of God or something like that, okay? Let's just try that out. Let's just practice that. Maybe tell them your plans, but maybe say something about if God wills, this is what I'm going to do. Okay, I'll give you a couple minutes, then I'll pray, and then we'll end. All right, let's pray, everybody, right where you're at. Lord, we thank you. You're an awesome God. Thank you that you are in control of everything, Lord. We just acknowledge that. Help us to acknowledge this in our lives, in our plans. Help us to live according to your will. I pray that you would use us, Lord, for eternal things that would matter for eternity. Help us to make good decisions based on what you would want. Help us not to do what would be wrong, but to do things according to your will. Help us to remember that you're there. And we thank you so much that you're a good God and we can enjoy having you in control of our lives. Thank you just for who you are. And we just put our lives and everything into your hands, Lord, and ask you to do great things with them. In Jesus' name, amen.